Hello?
Yes, peace and welcome to a new episode of the Focus Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Chivi, and today I'm so excited to have a conversation with an entrepreneur from the Bay Area who is making big moves and inspiring the youth and her community. So today I'm speaking with Pichelle, the founder and CEO of Entrepreneur. Pichelle, how are you doing today?
I'm good today. How are you, Eric?
Everything is well. Thank you so much for checking in with me today. And like I said, I'm excited to have this conversation and to go more into detail as to exactly who you are, what you represent, and what you do with your brand. Okay, so first and foremost, I would like to just, you know, ask you and, you know, check up on you and see how you're doing today. And, ask you, what's your current focus? I understand that we all live in our own worlds and we are, you know, living in our own experiences, but give us a look into your world. What's your current focus? What's your current mindset?
So today, my current focus today is really focusing on the movement. Yes. You know, this movement for me will help, you know, will inspire and motivate and grow the community and the youth around me. My mindset is to see change within my community and communities around us. I just feel like, you know, there's so many things that are not happening with my people and with our communities. And that starts with nourishing the body, the mind, and the spirit. So I just have a big plan on, you know, education in a sense to where it will help my people be successful in America. So my main focus today is just continuing to focus on that main idea of creating change for education for my people.
Indeed, indeed. So where does inspiration behind Entrepreneur come from? Because I'm sure there's a backstory. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, growing up in Oakland, California, it has not always been easy for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't grow up in a well-to-do home. You know, I grew up with my grandmother and she had her own 8 kids to begin with. And then with her 8 kids, you know, with the drug epidemic hitting that area in Oakland around in the 80s. And, you know, I was very young around that time. Mm-hmm. A lot of my grandmother kids, including my mom, turned to drugs and alcohol. And that quickly spiraled into my family. Not failing, but, you know, a lot of us went our separate ways and losing contact. And with all that being said, you know, this movement is built around my growing up in Oakland and in my grandmother's house and witnessing all the destruction and, you know, everything that just, you know, triggered from all the drug usage. And, you know, she raised over literally 29 grandkids in one home. And oh, wow. I mean, we all literally lived with my grandmother. And I'm telling you, this lady was a single woman. And she was also an entrepreneur. She had her own business. And her own business was very similar to what this movement is trying to do. Except she fed the homeless and the poor. And, you know, every Thanksgiving, every Christmas and all of that, and we all worked for her organization. Yes. And it was called the Sharing and the Caring. Mm. So, you know, my grandmother, she was very stern and very strict, and she had very hard rules, and she never had enough time to really, you know, show the love that I know she had within herself to all of us, because, as I said, she was an entrepreneur as well. And so she had a lot going on in business and all of that. And most of the times, all of us were left at home for each other to raise each other. So we never got the proper attention or proper love or proper nourishment of education from my grandmother being so busy. And, you know, it didn't dawn on me until now that I'm an adult, that all the things that she was up to are now the things that I'm doing. You know, it's sort of like she's vicariously living through me, guiding my steps along with my father, God. And so everything I'm up to right now is all based around my home and growing up in Oakland. And, you know, with that being said, a lot of situations that I had to go through in order for me to get to where I am today stem from that raised, being raised in those surroundings. So I want to take all of that, and I don't want to call what I went through failures, because I grew at the same time, but yeah. I know that I can save a whole lot of lives and the youth in our communities from going through what I had to go through in order to get to where I am today, with sure. just a little bit of nourishing education, the proper education, and, you know, just inspiring them and motivating them and continuing to love on them, you know, something that we so many of us have missed. We've missed the nourishment of love, what it is to love yourself, self-respect, you know, mm-hmm. being, you know, especially today, these kids, they're not really getting that grandmother love where mm. you hear about the trials and the tribulations that they once were. The kids today are being raised by younger people, so they've never mm-hmm. experienced the things that our grandparents experienced. And, you know, that is part of the thing that we're going to do. We have to start over. We have to go back to when there were grandmothers and grandfathers and people that were of older standards that were able to set standards or show you examples, leading by examples. You know, we had that with my grandmother, even though it was hard. But if right. you pay attention to her, you'd see what she was doing and where she was going with everything. So I know what she was doing, and I want to bring that to my community and to our youth, you know. So, you know, that's basically my vision, and you know, with this movement, is just kind of basing everything from not my past failures, but the things that I grew from.
Absolutely. And that's wonderful that you actually learned so much from your grandmother, and it's values and principles that you are looking to instill in the youth of today. And as you mentioned, it's something that is obviously missing in today's culture, and is very important. And just, you know, in growing up and being and growing into an adult. You know, I always hear that quote that says, it takes a village to raise a child, and it really does.
Yes. And imagine 29 children and exactly. more, because, like I said, she also fed the homeless and poor. So she had her community family right. as well. You know, wow. people depended on my grandmother to be mm-hmm. there for those. Every holiday she was there along mm-hmm. with her grandkids. She took us with her. But it's not until now I just really discovered, like, what it means to be an entrepreneur. And right. so many of us like that, you know, like we're kind of like people that have been entrepreneurs from day one. We always had to be, because we've never been given the opportunities that so many other races and people have, you know. So we have to fight and go a little bit harder than others in life, in this life, the way of the land, you know. It's
exactly
it's the plan. So
yes. Absolutely. So when was the first time you got bit by that entrepreneur bug and you said, you know, this is what I want to do and this is what I'm going to do?
It was the day I got off work. I was working in Houston, and I was working for Papa Do's. And now by trade, I'm a chef. I went to culinary okay. school when I graduated. And, you know, okay. that never had been a passion for me, but, you know, it was something for me to do, to go and check out and see what was going on. I like cooking. My grandmother loves to cook. She loved to cook. Mm. And so I just wanted to tap on that and see if it was a hidden talent that I had. And it actually was a hidden talent. And I was really, and I'm really good at it. So I took okay. it and I went and studied it. And I graduated. But wow. during my time in culinary school, no one ever told me, once I get into the actual restaurant and to the actual industry, that chances for me to become a chef were so far and few.
Wow.
So okay. I got off work at Papa Do's that day, and I got on my couch and I was so tired. My body, my bones, my fingers, everything was aching. Mm-hmm. And I had been working for, I think, about 16 hours that day, because I did a double. But when I got home, I was so broken down. I was like, I don't know how much longer I can do this. Mm-hmm. And what will I be really doing it for at the end of the day? Am I doing it for me, or am I doing it for the guy in the chef coat? Or right. the guy who's sitting at home or probably playing golf, because he can do that because he has his own restaurant now. But what about the people who makes this restaurant successful? And that's yes. usually the cooks. The mm-hmm. the lower paid people on the end. It's mm-hmm. not even the chef at you know, in some of these restaurants now.
Right.
So when I got home and I was half dead, I was like, man, I got to create something else for myself to do, because this, I won't make it to see 60 if I continue to live like this, you know, working for someone all those hours and busting your ass. I mean, in some of these restaurants, you have more positions than one. You're a prep cook, you're a cook, you're a liner, you know, you're a hotline cook. It's so many different positions in the kitchen. Right. And if you're not careful, they'll put you in each and every last one of them. Mm. And now your hand is on 5 different jobs.
Right.
And you're only working for $13 an hour.
Wow.
That's what was going on with me at Papa Do's. Mm-hmm. So in Houston, when I got off work that day, I was like, man, I got to create something, that a business for myself, something that I can thrive from, something that will not be affected by my felony.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that later. And so that's when I my mind said entrepreneur. And that was God. That's when my father gave me the answer that I've been asking. I've been asking him, praying, like, God, I don't know if this is the career for me. I don't know. I'm not happy in it. It's not making me happy. I know I'm making others happy with the taste and the flavors in my food. And I know that this could be possibly a talent, but maybe this is something I'm supposed to enjoy for myself at home, you know, with my family, you know, giving food for love, not food for profit. So that's when I decided to start my own business. And that's when the birth of Entrepreneur came. I got at my desk. I drew out an outline. I went straight and got it bedazzled by a designer, and they designed it for me. And boom, that was the birth of Entrepreneur.
And when was this exactly? 2018.
Yes.
Wow. And how was that feeling? What was that feeling for you to actually design, create something, to launch something?
You know, I actually sat on that design for an actual year before I even launched something.
Why'd you wait a whole year?
Well, because, you know, it just, you know, the necessary plays wasn't at play. I really didn't know anything about clothing. I just knew that I sat there and I just drew up a logo. But when I drew that logo, it wasn't in my head what to do with it. I'm telling you, like, and that's when I figured out, this is not my movement. This is God's movement. And I'm just following his steps and listening to his messages. But now I have to take my time, because I had to remember, I'm on his timing. It's not my timing. Right. So when he told me to go, I go. So that's how I end up sitting on it. I can never say I blame myself for procrastination or any of that, because I now know today that everything is on God's timing. And when he want to see it for come to fruition, it will come, and it will start to, you know, transpire. And then it just did. Everything just started opening up. Doors to t-shirt factories, screen printing places. Mm-hmm. Things just started to come to me. And I'm just like, whoa, okay. Wow. And as that year came, more stuff started coming. And then that's when I finally put it on a t-shirt and sold my first t-shirt at the Berkeley Flea Market.
Wow. And what was the response like from your community and the people around you?
It was awesome. Like, when I first went to the flea market, like, it was, everybody responded so well to it that's when the hoodie came, and that's when the tracksuit came.
Right.
You know what I mean? But then my God, he also grabbed me, like, hold on, wait. Because now, because at first my t-shirts was nothing about, it was just Entrepreneur on the t-shirts. And then I was like, well, I have to start saying what I feel in my heart about motivating the community, about our ancestors, our culture, our, you know, so now I got to start putting things on the shirt that would gravitate towards my people and grab them and help them to understand what the movement is about. So that's when I started making motivational t-shirts, you know, inspirational quotes. And that stemmed, that did that. And then the birth of, you know, hoodies came and other clothing items.
Right.
Which I'm, you know, like I said, I grabbed myself from that too as well, because, you know, God also is showing me at the same time, maybe this is not only just for clothing. Mm-hmm. And maybe we were only supposed to do inspirational t-shirts with hoodies, not fall into all the track suits and all the, you know what I mean? He quickly grabbed me. So that's what led me. That's going to answer your next question. So I'm going to let you ask your next one.
Well, definitely. Before we do, you know, I know that, you know, it's not just a clothing brand. It's much more than that. And we're going to go into detail about, you know, the future vision for Entrepreneur. But we definitely want to touch base on, you know, just your upbringing, and then obviously the experiences that you had that shifted your way in thinking, because we all have moments in our lives that are almost like crossroads where we have to make a decision and decide whether we're going to grow up or continue down the path of just, you know,
destruction
and adolescent youth and not necessarily having a plan or purpose for life. Right. So talk to me about that. What was, you know, what were some of the most challenging experiences you went through? And what were the lessons you got from them?
Well, that's going to be the whole conversation after that. No, I'm just kidding. No,
but definitely, you know, we all go through things. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be relatable to a lot of the audience. And then more important, it just shares about your story and the importance of growth. No one is perfect, but we all have to grow.
Oh, trust me, I'm hot to answer this question. I've been, you know, it's been for almost, 3 years that this movement has been going. Okay. You know, I've been speaking. I go out to the community. I speak with my family. I speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times people look at me like I'm crazy because I get to talk about my father, who is God. And, you know, they're looking at me because they see me in a different light, like a lesbian or gay person. Like, you know, a lot of people will look at me and say, how are you going to speak about God when you're not godly? You're not living a godly life. Well, mm-hmm. I have to quickly change that narrative for some people, because when you get lost in the sauce,
mm-hmm.
you don't realize until you really realize why you had to go through that in order to get to where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, my story is that, okay, I went to jail. This is the first time that I got in trouble with the police.
Mm-hmm.
I was on my way to jail. We were shooting dice outside.
What was the reason? Can you speak on that?
I went to jail?
Yeah. Can you speak on that?
Okay, the reason why I went to jail is we were shooting dice, and the police came. They raided the dice game. My friend was trying to jump over the gate. I grabbed him down. He got busted. I had drugs in my socks because I was selling drugs at that time in my life. Mm-hmm. I was about, 20 something.
Okay.
And it was this police officer who picked me up, getting ready to take me downtown Oakland to the jailhouse. But in the process of that ride, he told me everything that mm-hmm. saved my life from that. He told me literally how it is and how everything is set up for us to fail with that kind of lifestyle. So he basically said, you know, with what you're doing right now, you're not doing anything but being a guinea pig. You're working for me right now. As I'm taking you down the street to this jailhouse about to take your freedom from you, mm-hmm. I'm letting you know that the who you're working for right now, you're working like a guinea pig. You're only doing the things that we want you to do in order for you to go to jail and create this cycle that will constantly interrupt your life and interrupt anything you're trying to do in life, because you're going to get this felony, and it's just going to, you know, ruin your dreams and ruin your and stunt your life.
And he told you this.
So honest with me. And so, you know, it's you know, that in itself, with going to jail, that is life changing in itself. Either you want to continue that path, or you want to make change. And that's what I had to do. I had to make change. I didn't ever want to be in that situation again.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, what do you feel like you learned from that lesson in particular?
Well, I learned a lot from that lesson because, you know, so many things from that point on went wrong. So many things, because I did not listen to him when I got out of that car. Like, when mm-hmm. I got out of jail, it was all about getting out of jail. What I did to change at that moment, not much. I got out. I kind of tapped into the same kind of things and whatever and whatnot, but I really stopped selling drugs. I started to like kind of go to stores and stealing and taking mm-hmm. things that didn't belong to me. And, you know, that started to become like a revolving door. I had to be under 18 because my aunt was always able to come and get me out. So, mm-hmm. But every time I did that, I suffered. Mm-hmm. Karma hit me so fast every mm-hmm. single time. It was like, God, my daddy, he was right there every time, whooping my ass the same way my grandmama did every time I got in trouble. He always let me know that was not right. It wasn't right. And mm-hmm. I always had to suffer something, either lose a car, or lose this, or lose that. Mm-hmm. Something came about to where I noticed, and my conscience let me know that this is what happens when you do that. So I had to make the necessary changes in order not to keep creating that revolving door of bad karma.
Right. So, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And in that time period that, you know, you were going through that development and that growth, what was the thing that sparked it and set that really led you down the path of growth and development?
just knowing that I had to grow up because I had no one else to turn to. Like, my grandmother was gone. She died when I was about 16. And my aunt was, like, left in charge of all of us. And mm-hmm. then I just had to look at my life and be like, you're on your own. What are you going to do? Right. Are you going to keep going to jail? Or are you going to get off this couch? Because I was on my couch, my grandmother's couch, for at least 2 months after she passed because I just didn't know which way to go. I wasn't mm-hmm. going to school. I just was like, I can't. Mm-hmm. I got to do what she would have loved to see me do. So right. I got off that couch. I walked all the way from Oakland to Berkeley, and I begged the principal at that school to let me into his school because I have to go to school, sir. I have to graduate. I have to make necessary changes in my life or I'm going to die in those streets. And I get real sensitive when I speak of this because this principal, he looked me in my face and he said, young lady, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to give you an opportunity to change your life. But I'm telling you, just like this, if you mess up one time, I'm giving you one time to mess up and you're out of this school. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to give me no other time than that one time because I finally felt like someone gave me an opportunity to make changes in my life. So with that, I ran with that. I needed a whole lot of credits to graduate, but I made up for every last one of them credits. I used to have to wake up from 6 in the morning and didn't leave school to 6 p.m. in order to get all my credits, but I did it and I graduated.
Right.
Off of sure will and determination of I can do whatever I put my mind to. The same way this movement is coming and opening up right now for me. It's just like, I just, you know, it's always God in the back and with me, always letting me know that I'm here. I have purpose. I woke up this morning. So if I wake up this morning, I have a purpose-driven life. And this life is not about me. I'm on borrowed time. We all are. We're on borrowed time, and we're on time that he's going to see what you're going to do with it, how you will live it. Are you going to just live for yourself, or are you going to help others live and not suffer through all the mistakes that you've already made? Do you know that you can save lives with all the trials and tribulations that you've been through?
Mm-hmm.
But it took me years to get to the point I am at today.
Right.
And that's why my story is important because it can help save lives to not even lose time in failing and continuing to fail and then finally figuring out, oh, even though that does build character, but some of the things that I went through, no one should have to go through and don't have to if they receive the proper nourishment, the proper guidance, the proper education, proper self-respect. The love of the parents, the mother, the father, all of these things are very necessary and very needed. But sometimes people don't get the proper information that they need to survive. I didn't get really the proper information, but I took it upon myself to go and demand the proper information. Because today, especially today, there's just so many resources for our babies and our kids, our youth. There's so many resources that weren't there when I was growing up. We didn't really have computers when I was growing up. We sure didn't have cell phones with all of the Google, and we can go in and find whatever we want. We can learn every day from YouTube easily. You don't have to sit down and read books if you don't want to. Some people just not book readers. Okay, well, there's this grand app. And it's called YouTube. Any questions that you have, educational questions, any kind of questions, ask YouTube. Ask, research. Go and find, is that the truth to that? Because some things you find, some videos, they might not be informational, not the right information, but you research your question, you research the answers. And so that's what I basically had to start doing for myself, figuring things out on my own because, you know, this world is not built for my people to survive in. It's not really meant for that. We have been set up from the gate, from beginning to, you know, everybody knows what my race have been through. It doesn't need to continue to be publicized because it's being publicized every day and everything is still happening all around us. Even worse today, everything my ancestors, our ancestors, our community activists have done, it's gotten worse and no one's really paying attention to it because the man have made it so modern day, such a modern day slavery type thing today. People think we're surviving and we're just living. You know what I mean? Like, we're just holding on to every little moment because we never know what these people got planned for our lives. Right. So we have to, as a race and as a community, we have to get together. And we have to get together fast and now and start unifying and stop, you know, blaming each other for what we've done to each other in the past, what we're still doing to each other now. We have to get together and make sense of everything that's going on around us and make changes. And that's where the foundation is going to play a big pivotal role in this movement, because we're not going to just, you're not going to come into this foundation and just learn a general education. No, we have to start over, and within our race and as a people, we have to understand what it means to love ourselves first. First, we got to start from there, because you got to remember that when they took away our parents with the drug epidemic, and when they our grandparents, our parents, all of that, those people are really gone for a lot of Black families. And so you're not getting that nourishment of that grandmother that so many families are still getting, because their grandmothers are still alive and kicking, because they didn't have to deal with, like, my grandmother. I used to go to the store and get my grandmother cigarettes from the ARAPs when I was a kid. You know what I mean? These people have been in our community since from my whole life, and they're not going anywhere, but they're only in my communities. They're not in Concord communities. They're not in, I live in Concord. You don't, you might see an Indian, but you're not going to see the Arabs. And these Arabs, they're not only just, you know, pumping bad foods into our communities. They're pumping guns into our communities. They're pumping drugs into our communities. And no, and it's going undetected, really. Everybody's talking about the white man and the Black man. But if nobody wants to have that conversation about the Arab, the Arabs, who have been a terrorist to this country for more than I don't know how many years, but all the time you never see anything on the news about these people. Never, ever. Why? Because they have such a alliance with the American government. You know, and they have been corrupting my cities and my communities for as long as I have lived. And it has not stopped, because it's not even a discussion today. So, you know, we got to go back as a people, and we got to talk about real reality things that are happening and going on around us, have been forever, because these things have to stop. These people got to come out of our communities. They got to stop pumping Doritos, hot chips, sodas, sugars, all the things that the brain is not growing. The brain is not learning. The brain is not doing anything, and they're just going, you know, instead of loving themselves, they're loving candy. They're loving all the poisons that these people have been pumping into our communities forever. No one's talking about that. We're all talking about politicians and all of this and all that, which is, you know, the root of all the evil. But, you know, for my people, when these foundations start, we're not just about to be about general education. We got a lot to talk about. Lot of healing, a lot of work to do. And now is the time, especially now, because these people are planning. And they know what we're doing, because they have us, the statistics have us numbered. They know how we spend our money. They know how we eat. And that's all by plan. That's not by, you know, it's all by design. Right. It's not by the way God wanted us to live. It's not by his plan. This is by American plan, man plan, to corrupt the people, to corrupt my people. And why? Why? Because we ain't never had shit. Nothing. What do you guys want from us? What do you want? So that's my question. And I need to be able to get my kids into this foundation and inform them about all of this, all of the things that we spending our money on. Why they raise the prices so high, so it keeps us broke. Why all of our city streets are raggedy. You can't even, your cars, every time you go down a bump, your car damn near falls apart, to keep us broke. Why is all the food rising? And it's crazy. And, you know, I have many of people in my family that don't even know how to use computers. So that's another thing. Technology, the whole world is about to be ran by technology. I got to get my people in fast so I can sit these kids down and really get them to learning. Now our kids, they're not spelling out words no more. They're shortening all the words. And that's to create more dumbness, ignorance. You don't see a lot of kids. I'm telling you, I go to school and I still go to school. I go to DVC. Not at this moment today, but I still go over there. And when I sit with these youngsters, These kids, they're very articulate kids. They're speaking their speech and everything. I'm an adult and I'm looking at these teenagers and at these youth, at the youth, at these schools. And I'm just like, whoa, whoa. Because I have a bunch of cousins that are still in school and they're not speaking on this level. They're not speaking articulately like these kids are that I'm going to school with at an old age, older age. They're not speaking like this. And why? Because they're not being taught to speak in these ways. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, our whole education system in order for us to survive and be successful in America is totally bogus. And so that's where the foundation comes in. We are here and we want to create change. I don't have the necessary, all the necessary players with me right now, but God is slowly sending them on to me. And after this podcast, I hope there's going to be a whole lot of Black people that's ready to stand up for ourselves and stand up for our children. And start taking responsibility, accountability, and really, really, really get serious about life, because they're not playing with us anymore. They've learned mostly everything they need to learn from us. So, and when I look around, what do they need us for right now? And that's a question that a whole lot of us should start asking ourselves and start mm-hmm. taking life way more seriously than we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. So a lot was said in just that. You know, time yeah. period, and you know, not hear you definitely. So, you know, first and foremost, I want to congratulate you for, you know, growing past, you know, the lessons that you learned when you were younger and the choices that you made, and you know, going from, you know, someone who, like you said, was necessarily being a poison to your community, to shifting that and flipping it, and now being an empowering source for your community, you know. And that's beautiful that you were able to see that, you were able to you know, make that change, and now you are a voice for youth and other people within the community of the Bay Area, but also, you know, your particular community,
right,
to actually make changes and be involved in growth. So that being said, you also, as part of this movement, has said that there's a huge component that's focused solely on the education of the youth. So yes. Talk about the academy aspect of Entrepreneur.
So the academy aspect of Entrepreneur is what we have in mind and in store for our youth and our kids, is that we want to bring these kids into the foundation. Kids that are riding around, I was once those kids that was riding around just practically raising myself. We want to create a community where these kids can come to mm-hmm. feel love, to feel important, to feel wanted. Because these kids today that I see in my community, they don't have any guidance at home. Their parents are probably sitting on these corners out here drinking or doing whatever they're doing today. Mm-hmm. Homeless, you know, the rents and everything's went up so high mm-hmm. that a lot of kids and a lot of families are homeless. So mm-hmm. they're not getting the proper nourishment for sure. Mm-hmm. So what we plan, bringing them in, starting our day off with nutrition, speaking about what we're feeding our body, what we're feeding our brain, what we're feeding our mind, what it is doing to nourish our bodies, learning everything and all the nutrients to each food that we're storing into our body, and seeing what it is doing for us, the way that it's promoting us to grow inside and out, the way it's shining through your skin, the way water does your body, the way sugar does not do your body good.
You're right.
So I want to have these conversations with starting very young, from the ages 3 to 6. After the 3 to 6, and also in that class, not just nutrition in that class, all through the classes, all the nutrition classes will be there. But with our 3 to 6-year-olds, we want to start them off with self-love, self-care, right. Learn teaching them what love is, spirituality, meditation, quietness. Mm-hmm. Kids mm-hmm. can learn these things very young. They come right. with these tools. They mm-hmm. start with us with these tools. It's not until the minds of the teachers, the kids at school, some of the people that they're around, they get their brains, their little minds get interrupted because they start being, you know, misled.
Right.
But if we can catch that and capture that to where we can show them what it is, they will know and be able to recognize when it's not for them, because they'll know love. You know what I mean? Like, we have to start there. And that's from our 3 to 6. So from 6 to 15, we want to start with, you know, proper nutrition, same way. All of the same things we taught the 3 to 6. It's just a whole plan to where you have to graduate levels to get to the end of the program. It's not going to be one, second grade, first grade. It's going to be levels. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once we feel like you've passed that level, you take it to the next level. We have a whole education plan designed, but it's not going to be in the design that the American education system is.
Got it. So would you say it would be a substitute for just regular public school?
Substitute for better learning, learning what education is all about. See, I think that we have been misinformed on what education is really about. See, when you think of education, everyone thinks, I mean, of course, education is books. We have to have books. We have to have literature. We have to have all of that. That's all important goodnesses. But if you don't know how to love or to be free within yourself, how are you really going to perceive that book or read that book and really take what you need from that book? I think a lot of times people read books and they don't really, you know, they're just reading. They're not really they're reading to pass a grade. They're not reading to really nourish the mind. They just reading to take a test. You know what I mean? It's got to be a different way to teach, to show, you know, fun with learning at the same time, all at the same time. Not just math. We just have to start. We have to start and do education with our people a little bit differently than what we've been taught here in America. That's just, you know, the movement's plan. I don't want to lay everything on the line with the lineup of education that we plan to put out to the community, because like I said, we're still working on this plan and we're still getting everything in order and in place. And, you know, there's a lot of listeners out there, and I don't want, you know, the wrong information to get into the wrong ears, or, you know, people start writing the wrong information down. Let this thing develop and open up, and you'll see the plan that we have with our educational foundation for the movement.
Yes. And do you think that parents and the community is open to something new, for example, such as the academy that you're thinking of and envisioning?
They're crying for it. Okay. They don't even know. Once they see the lineup of the plan, I mean, they're going to embrace it. They're going to actually be a part of it, because we're bringing the parents in too, because the parents got to go back and learn too. There's a lot of parents out there that don't know diddly squat, can't even teach the kid. Kid come home, they need help with their homework. Who gonna help them? You got families can't afford tutors.
Right.
So that's what, you know, that's what we're talking about. We got to bring the parents in and the kid in. We doing parent and kid workshops all the time. Not just parent night on once a year, or twice a year. No, we need our parents to be involved. If you're not going to be an involved parent, your kid not going to even be able to be a part of the foundation, because we need the parents. We need you. It starts at home. It starts with you. You know what I mean? But for the kids that don't have parents, we will bring those kids in for sure. Yeah. But the kids that have parents, the parents have to be a part of this. If the parent have a guardian, your guardian has to be a part of this to even be a part of the foundation. Because the foundation, it's a foundation for a reason. And if the foundation, when you build a house, if it's already weak, what's the chances that a house standing up? No chances. So we have to start over, and we have to start over with building a foundation. And a foundation starts at home. So the parents coming in too.
Right. Yes. And then you said also would have focus on entrepreneurship and creating and launching successful businesses.
Oh, yes. We're going to have the best educators, because God's going to give them to us. They're going to come and they're going to be able to teach financial literacy, business, infrastructures of businesses, all the business lingo that there is. They will know every inch of it by the time they're 15. They will know what it is to have a business, what it is to deal with customers, what it is for business plans, and what it is to have your business trademark, what it is to have your business become successful. Because see, that's something that people don't want to show us. People in America don't want to show Black people business. They just don't. And I don't care what anyone says. No one wants the Black man or the Black woman to know business. Guess why? Because they know the greatness. They know what we'll do. So the babies of the future, the kids of the future, the youth of the future, they're going to know. They're going to know how to run a successful business, because we're going to have the best business educators to be able to teach them from beta, from beginning to the end of what it is to run a successful business. How will you be successful in business if you're not as successful in life?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and I definitely want to shout out, you know, platforms that are kind of already doing education content already, like Earn Your Leisure, you know the Ledge Media, and a few other platforms who are sharing content which is educational but also informational about business and different business topics. But again, I don't think no one is doing what you're saying that you're looking to do, but I mean, particularly focus on, you know, youth. And obviously, you know, the whole community, where they can be empowered in so many different ways, of education and personal development and in business. Why do you think something like this doesn't exist yet?
Oh, well, I totally don't think that there, well, I know that something like this don't exist here in California or here, because I would know about it. I would know where all the little black kids are going to school together with maybe one or two or three white kids. Like, excuse my lingo, because it's not about races, really, it's not. But if something like that was going on, I'm pretty sure I would know about it. And it's not. There used to be something similar. It was the Muslim schools, the mosque. But those are not going on anymore. It's just, you know, and I don't feel like there's any of that going on. I know that there's not. I've done my research, so.
Okay. No. Yeah. So where do you see yourself and the brand and the Academy of Entrepreneur in 5 years?
In 5 years, I see, you know, my daddy, God, he has let me see five foundations up and running. Mm-hmm. Angel investors, they will come. Hear the word angel. Mm-hmm. All the educators, all the intellectual educators, all the necessary educators that we will need to make this program, this academy, successful, they're already coming. I've met great grandpeople that are ready and willing to do this program pro bono. They want to share this information. They want to see our community and our kids thrive. They want this. And it's so powerful, because it's the perfect time for this. It's so necessary right now for such a foundation, for such a movement. And so all the necessary players, they're all going to come. They're going to come. Once we build it, it's just going to continue to grow and grow and grow. So by the time in the next 5 years, I know it in my heart. I know what my dad is doing. I know his workings. He's working on me. He's working on this movement. It's his movement. I'm just the messenger. He already let me see. It's already happening. It's already happening. Like all the events I've done, the necessary people, when I tell them the story, the foundation of what they're signing up to do it already. Call me. I'm ready. Let's go. We can put this together. So in 5 years, I see this foundation being big, and all the kids from all over are going to want to come to these foundations, because they know this is the foundation to be supported. Yes, because it's supporting them. And it has all of their best interests in mind, and in heart, and in love. Everything. Everything is surrounded by God's word. Yes. And it's the truth. So I see us being really, really up there in 5 years.
There you go. Spoken to existence.
Yes.
And we believe it's going to manifest immediately. Okay. So congratulations on, you know, just your vision. And again, your attitude, just to have so much faith, but more importantly than that is you're not just having faith. I know for a fact that you're putting in all the work, and as you mentioned, all the right people are now connecting and contacting you to make this happen.
Yes, phone calls are coming through. Like, like where a month ago, you know, my phone barely even rang. Phone ringing, my emails coming through. Right. Certain social media streams, I'm getting follows on certain streams that I don't know really too much. It's just like the word is getting out. It's getting out, and that's what it's supposed to do, you know. And then it's just become that time where you feel in your heart that you can kind of slow down a little bit, because you've been going and going and going. And I'm at that part where now God is sending me the necessary. I don't want to call anybody a worker, because we're not workers. We're workers, but we're workers for God. His workers. We're his disciples. His, you know, we are his people. And he's just putting us all together in this nice, beautiful group of loving, caring people who just want to simply give back, you know, not for profit. Like, it's not even about money. It's so about just taking everything that I failed from and just, you know, making sure that others don't have to go through it. And it's real for me. It's so real. That's how I know it's going to manifest in something so beautiful.
Absolutely.
Because it's real for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There it is. It is done already. And done. Where can people find you? Where can people contact you? Get people your social media handles. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm on Instagram as Entrepreneuro 756, spelling Entrepreneuro 756. And also I'm on Facebook as Entrepreneuro. And I also have a Twitter page as Entrepreneuro. You can find me there as well. I have an Alignable account. I also have LinkedIn. You can find me there under Pashel Windham. And those are all of my social streams at this moment. Actually, I also have a TikTok that I just started. And I'm kind of playing around with that. Try to get the word out a little bit more better, you know, with all these different social media streams. They're hard to keep up with all of them. It's hard to keep up with all of them and try to run a business. So I'm trying to, you know, stay involved on all of them. So you can all find me there if you're interested in signing up to help out free. You know, pro bono, we're doing God's will. We're doing God's job. So we're looking for people who want to come in, educators who want to help educate, help better our community, help better our kids and our youth. Come on in, help us with this very important movement. It is so needed, and it's needed immediately. There's no more procrastination. We can't wait anymore. There's plans going on around us that we have no clue about. We have to get together and we have to figure all of this out. So come in and join the movement and help us to change the narrative for our people.
There you go.
That negative light that they got on us. So let's go and turn that light on.
There you go. And there's so much great content that is, you know, being created by you and obviously the people that support and follow you already, you know. And again, so many people are going to be able to now not only contact you to create and be part of this movement, but also you are also hosting events such as pop-ups, correct?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about your upcoming pop-ups that you have and where you'll be?
Yeah, so the next pop-up we're going to be a part of, it's the group that's giving this pop-up. It's called the Winter Wonderland. And the group, it's the Black Business Network. And they're located in Los Angeles, California. Okay. And they're a really good group of people that have put together an awesome movement as well. And they are really showcasing African-American businesses with their pop-ups. And I'm going to be joining that one. The next one is on this month, on the 18th. Mm-hmm. It starts from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. They're doing a toy giveaway, a toy drive for the kids. Mm-hmm. There'll be a few raffles for iPads and things like that. You know, things that, tools that is needed in the world today for business and for school. So this should be a very exciting event that I will be a part of on the 18th of December. And so if anyone's free on that day, you should all come down and join us and see what the movement is going to be, you know, be there doing, where we'll be showcasing our clothing, our merch, because we do have merch. Okay. And we hope to see you all come out and support this grand and awesome movement. Most of the money that comes, that we make, will go towards the foundation and just saving up money to see to bring this foundation to fruition.
Yes, absolutely. And before we leave here today and we wrap up the conversation, this is again only an introduction. We're going to have so many more other conversations in the near future, because as Pashel just mentioned, this movement is on a level of growth, and we're going to be, you know, tapping in within consistently throughout their journey. So look out for that. But Pashel, what message do you have for entrepreneurs today, in particular entrepreneurs from your particular community? What's the message you want to leave them with today?
Today I say, get on that computer, get busy, start looking up things that are exciting to you. What's exciting? What's your passion? your passion. What do you love to do? Figure out that love. Run with that love. If it's a business, put all in, all you have into that business, because it takes time. It takes skill. It takes research to build a business. It's something easy to do, but let me tell you about that easy. Being an entrepreneur is not, it's a grind. It's hard work. It's going to take a fight to continue to build that business. When you talk about entrepreneurship, you have to build, you have to research, you have to get up in the morning, you have to keep going, you got to fight, because now you've built something for yourself, and now you have something out there that people are seeing. So now you've created something that where you have to be accountable for. So you have to give it your all. And, you know, that's not hard to do once you get into your head and just, you know, embrace your ideas, embrace your inspiration, you know, and just, you know, create something great for yourself that you love doing. And, you know, like I said, put your all into it and keep going for it. Never let nobody tell you, no, you cannot do it. And if they do, use that to help grow your business, help grow your inner being. Never take no for an answer and just keep thriving. Put it out there, put it in the universe, pray on it, sleep on it, eat on it, and bring it to fruition. Anything's possible. Anything's possible that you put your mind to. And there's so many resources. So no more excuses. Get up, get it out, get it in, and get it going. Build. Build within. Build a business and build a thriving business. And don't give up on that business when people shut doors on you. Open that door back up. Be relentless. Give it a fight. Because let me tell you, even if that business, your first business fails, let me tell you the strength and the character it builds. Failure builds character. Failure builds strength. Just because you fail one time, use that fail and build it up to a gain. You know, because once you do that, I'm telling you, it just feels so good to know that you can do and be independent as you want to. Grow yourself, grow your business, grow your community. And if you have children, grow them too. Grow families, you know, grow foundations, build foundations, and keep them protected. That's what I would tell.
Powerful, powerful, powerful.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really great. Michelle, you are a very great inspirational entrepreneur who we're looking forward to keeping up with and supporting throughout your whole journey. Thank you so much for what you're doing for the community and everything that you are implanting, all the seeds that you're implanting now into the youth and into just, you know, this whole entrepreneurship community that needs love, that needs attention, that needs content, that needs inspiration. And you're providing that, and you're being a spark. And I know that so many other people are already willing to help and be part of your movement. Yes. So again, thank you and congratulations for taking on such a great charge. Like you said, you are just the messenger.
I'm just the messenger.
You know, but what a great task and what a great, you know, message and mission to have. So again, thank you for your time. Thank you for what you just said to this community of entrepreneurs who are going to listen and going to be impacted and inspired by everything that you said. So, ladies and gentlemen, please go ahead and visit Entrepreneur on Instagram. Please give the Instagram handle one more time, please.
Instagram, Entrepreneur756. Website will be up shortly. It's under construction.
Yes.
My guy here, Tiva, is putting that website together right now. We're working hard on it. It'll be up shortly. You'll be able to reach us there as well. And I also want to thank you, Eric, for bringing this podcast. So you're allowing me to speak and opening up doors so that others can hear my plans and what I plan on doing and my dreams, my aspirations. Like, you are also yourself doing great things for the community, and for you to be able to, you know, give us a stream to where we can say and voice our dreams and our passions live. That's so to be commended. I commend you for doing such great works for us and for your community. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to showcase my business. I mean, you're such an inspiration yourself. And so that's when I was speaking about all the great people that God has been bringing into my life. So, and you are one of them. And I want to thank you. Thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your time as well and your patience.
Yes, of course. Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your kind words. And, you know, this is what we do it for. We do it for, you know, for the number one, for the long-term vision of our dreams, right? You want to bring to fruition this academy and empower your community. And I love that I get to be a part of that and to just be here with you and be able to hear it before it becomes to fruition. And know that it's already in play. It's already happening. So I'm so excited for everything that's to come. And I appreciate, again, your kind words. And Pashelle, we'll be continuing the conversation offline. We have a lot of work to do. So yes. Thank you so much for tapping in today to the Focus Podcast. This episode will now be available everywhere within just a few minutes. And inspiring, motivating, empowering entrepreneurs everywhere. So again, Pashelle, thank you so much from Entrepreneur. This is Eric Chibi with Chibi Digital and the Focus Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Eric. Have a great morning.
Have a good one. Yes.